I do want to say a couple of things before we get started here, though. You know, Susie Creighton-Keith was the one that suggested this. We've told the early history before, and I thought because of kind of a unique position that I ended up in, that like I had a little bit different perspective on some of this stuff, and I could kind of fill in what was going on behind the scenes while VONR was doing their thing, and I thought it would be an interesting thing because like the story about World Services is almost as intriguing as the one about VONR. Now, there's going to be a largely first-person account, and if I sound vain or self-serving, I'm sorry. But that's the way it is, and I'll do everything I can to be factual. And that will, of course, mean naming names and kicking toes. There are a lot of unsung heroes here. And please, people, as I'm going through here, those of you who've been around, if you remember something that I'm leaving out, raise your hand and I'll cut you in and let you, you know, and we'll include it. Because this is in fact, you know, something I would like to keep close to archival quality. Okay. Anyway, that's the deal. So I guess we'll start at the beginning. In the beginning, Bill Gates and God created electrons, and all this stuff happened. And we'll start this thing. Let's say 2002. You know, before there ever was Voices of Nicotine Recovery, there was a group called Unofficial Nicanon, which had type share meetings. Now, when I came on board in the summer of 2002, I met a young lady named Rosalind, who became my sponsor. And the reason for that she became my sponsor was that there were very few men around at the time, and Roz and I just kind of hit it off, you know. We had kind of a thing going. We were both fairly new in the program, and what we did was we would, as new people do, you know, you make a lot of meetings, and we would go to the type share meetings on Unofficial Nicanon, and quite often they would have scheduled meetings, but the chair people wouldn't show up. So what happened was one of us would chair and the other one would help. You know, that was just kind of like a thing that we did. And this went on that summer and that fall of 2002. And little did I know that Moz wanted to start a voice meeting. And, about Thanksgiving time, I mentioned to Roz that we would be, what she thought about starting a voice meeting on PALDOC. And she was all in favor of it. Well, I want to say something now because it's going to play a little bit about what happens later. Just about the time that we decided to do this, we decided a couple of things. First of all, that it needed to be separate from the voice meetings, or excuse me, the time share meetings, simply because, when we set it up at Pal Talk, of course it wasn't even in the same room, people had to add software, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, about this same time, we discovered that there was a way that the rooms that we had on the Yahoo site, and for those of you who don't know, in the early days, Yahoo did in fact have rooms connected to the sites. And if you knew how to do it, you could set them up for voice. It involved coming in a different way and doing a couple of tricks, and somebody come in and hold the room open while you went out and came around to come back. It was kind of like, it was a little bit of an involved process, but it worked. Well, anyway, we'd announced that we were going to go to Pound Talk, so we did. And we went over there, and I remember Jan with Theo was over there. I remember several other people who were there. And we started out with a Sunday night meeting, and that would have been the first or second weekends in December of 2002. And we started out with the one meeting, which is the 8 o'clock for the 9 o'clock Sunday meeting. And quickly, what happened was that Susan Frogbit, many of you don't know her, she hasn't been around for years, but there was a gal named Susan who at one time was actually editor of 7 Minutes, and she had what they called a speaker meeting. Now, can you imagine a timeshare speaker meeting? Well, you know, they did with what they had, okay? You know, people cut and pasted, and the old timeshare rooms, the old rooms that Yahoo had, were more forgiving about the timeshare than Paltalk was. So you could cut and paste and do a fairly decent share doing that, but. You know, the speaker meeting is better with speakers. And, you know, we had speakers, and Susan said, well, you know, let's move that over to the to Pile Talk. So here we were. Now, because of a bunch of other stuff, we started, we went to, in fact, so the decision was kind of made for us, okay? One of the people at Unofficial Mikanon decided that they were going to give us a site and call it Unofficial Mikanon Voice. So we had that. Now, there were some kind of conflicts there. One thing was that all of a sudden we had two boards. What happened was that, people were communicating on one board and were cut off from the other, and the group just was wasn't big enough to support two boards at the time. So we kind of discouraged posting over there, and it just that just became a place to collect members, if you will. Okay. Now, you know, along with that, we of course did end up with a voice room on the internet. Again, you had to hold your teeth just right, do all this stuff to open it, but it was there. Well, you know, I remember Ross. I think we used to have about 4 or 5 people there, that was the. That was pretty much it on the Pal Talk. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was about as many as we ever got. And one of the things that happened was that, see, none of us had even known how to red talk at the time. None of us knew about this admin stuff. None of us. We just had this damn room and we opened it, and for our meetings, that was it. Largely, that was because in Yahoo, we didn't have a problem with Raider. And I guess maybe it was about 3 or 4 months down the road, we had somebody come in, and somebody who had to be bounced, And it took me, I'll bet you it took me 5 minutes to bounce it, because I never had to, you know. And he cuts us up one side and down the other. And what happened was that we at that point moved back to our room on unofficial Nicanor voice. And largely our two meetings kept growing until we got a dozen, 15 people there when we were at our peak, which was pretty good, because that's about what was showing up at the timeshare meetings. The timeshare people, for their part, many of them did not like voice meetings. They just didn't trust them, and they were very comfortable with timeshare meetings. We would announce it on the boards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One by one, people would keep coming over there. Well, a funny thing happened in fall of 2004, and essentially what happened was that one of the meetings that unofficial was disrupted, and a bunch of us quit going to the timeshare meetings, and as a result, the unofficial Nicanor made some decisions that were just unbearable to us in the voice meetings. We found that in the voice meetings, like, we didn't have to be so draconian. We could allow people to be people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And anyway, a funny thing happened, and they called a group conscience, and as luck would have it, Roz could not make it. And I was working nights at the time, and I slept through the dot-com thing. So they made all kinds of did all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, you know, the voice people, by this time, we decided that, like, well, we just don't want to do that. And in effect, they came over and they rated us to make us discipline them, and when we wouldn't, they eventually ended up kicking us out because we wouldn't discipline them. So anyway, it was one of those crazy things. Now, what happened in 2004 was that this was about October, and so anyway, we had an emergency group conscience. Now, here's where a funny thing happened, because here is the juncture of the crazy stuff with the absurd. Nicotine Anonymous, World Services, had been in touch with a couple of people with unofficial Nicanor. Well, they had decided that they wanted to start something called an intergroup. So, they were having their forming meeting half an hour before we had our group conscience. And after they kicked us out, they came over and invited us to join their group, their inner group. Well, you can imagine what happened. Like, I think that we managed to say thanks, but no thanks. But many of us were royally ticked off about that. And it was, just sort of like, essentially we were kicked out of unofficial Nicanor. We had our two meetings now, and our meetings had been growing to where we had about a dozen, 15 people at them. And surprisingly, at this point, people began to rally. Now, a remarkable thing happened at this point. We had those two meetings, and all of a sudden, I got to tell you about one of our dreams. Now, Roz and I, when we first started that thing, way back then, that one little voice meeting, when we started that, we had a person from Great Britain. Now, there is a 5-hour difference between Greenwich Mean Time and Eastern Daylight Time, or Eastern Standard Time, whatever the time of the year, there is a 5-hour difference. Okay, so, you know, here was this gal staying up till 2 a.m. to go to our group conscience meeting, you know, to go to our meetings. We wanted to have some, what in effect were in the afternoon meetings, that 2 o'clock slot. We were hoping somebody would step up and do that, and nobody ever did. Well, a funny thing happened when we actually started doing our thing. Okay, we were actually meeting in the unofficial Nicanon boys meeting at our last group conference, and there were a couple of things that happened. Was intuitively we did not like that name, unofficial Nicanon boys. That was just something that was kind of given to us, and my dear friend Roz suggested we call ourselves Rule 62. Well, there were a couple of things going on. Like I said, there were some people from World Services that were kind of hanging around at the time and giving us little suggestions. And we floated the name Rule 62 to them. They said, well, that's, Alcoholics Anonymous World Services has just jumped on us for using their 7-step prayer. We wrote our own, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's pretty AA-ish. We don't have any power over it, but like we wouldn't want to, we're not in favor of you using an AA cliche. So anyway, what happened was that my guess was one night I was sitting and I was kind of letting this thing go on through my through my head. And first of all, I wanted to cryptic names are fine for people who know what the code is and you can understand it. Well, let's communicate out here about who we are. So I thought, well, is there any way we could make this into a voice to let them know it's a voice meeting and it's just the natural voices of nicotine recovery? So anyway, I fired that to a poster to a people and in the next group conscience I was adopted. So anyway, that's how the name became about. It was just brainstorming one night. Everybody did their thing. Now, you know, a couple of things here early in the game, we didn't have a very strong group conscience. Nobody had positions. We were just kind of playing this by ear. Essentially what happened at this stage of the game was that if something needed to be done, somebody went ahead and did it. And, it was just something that like, we would say, well, I'll do this, you know, go do it. There wasn't a group conscience, and we didn't talk a hell of a lot about it. And so one night, and that happened to be on the 15th of October, I went into the Yahoo groups and typed in Voices of Nicotine Recovery and started a group. And what I did was I know absolutely nothing about these damn pages. I invited everybody I knew in there. I made Dan and Grace admins so that they could create a web page. Well, I kind of ended up fighting like cats and dogs, but that was okay. Dan R., correct, exactly. Now, you know, let me tell you a little bit about Dan R. Dan R., at this point, you know, he had shown up here, and he had this thing going on where he called himself something like your your bodybuilding coach, something like that, your fitness coach. Anyway, that's what happened was that he ended up there. Dan was kind of a slick guy. He knew HTML. Grace knew HTML. Anyway, it was kind of like too many cooks doing, too many cooks in the kitchen, and blah, 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 blah. And anyway, but it all worked out, okay? This was in the formative thing. Well, here it goes, very early. I made Ross co-owner. And that's the way it's been ever since. Anyway, coffee talk, if you're falling asleep, go to sleep. Okay. Anyway, that's the deal. That was Dan. And Dan did us a lot of good. This will show up later on here. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Here we were. We were sent out. And I remember talking to Ross at the time, but we were, quite frankly, we were a little bit scared shitless, to use a vernacular. We'd been kicked out of the group. And ironically, at least, I'm guessing two-thirds of the people had followed us. Well, if we thought we had a difference, if we thought we had a problem with unofficial and unofficial Nicanor boys, now we really had a problem because we had Voices of Nicotine Recovery up and running, and we had this group called Unofficial Nicanor Boys, and so anyway, we called a group conscience, and what we did was, at this time, I believe we had about 80 to 100 members in Unofficial Nicanor Boys. We used the override function so that everybody received the email. We let people know that Unofficial Nicanor Boys was going to be closed down, and that Voices of Nicotine Recovery was going to be the new group, and those who wished to join. And virtually all the people joined up in the ONR. Anyway, here's the deal. We were doing that, and all of a sudden the calendar started filling up. Now, when we came over, we had two meetings. At this point, Unofficial Nicanor had about 15 to 18. Now, again, these were meetings, and like a lot of people sometimes weren't showing up at. They were on the calendar and all this sort of stuff. And as I said, about this time, Nicotine Anonymous World Services was kind of reaching out to us, but just didn't quite know out who was here and, a bunch of other stuff. So, what happened there was, if you went to the Nicotine Anonymous site, there were meetings listed that were in fact internet meetings. If you clicked on that thing on the site that says internet meetings, you would have been directed to a thing that said about six meetings. Well, we registered a bunch more of those. And then the next summer, we tried to register more. In fact, Grace did all the forms and sent them, and nothing happened. We found out that, like, they weren't getting on the board, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that was kind of a freaky thing. And let's fast forward to the middle of the summer of, first of all, before we go to our first thing here in Albuquerque, I want to talk about something else that happened. I wanted to, and that now it's slipped my mind. Okay,
Here we go. Okay. Fast forward to Albuquerque. That would have been in April of 2005. We had a little get together here in Albuquerque. Now, what happened was Roz showed up, Amy showed up. Amy was living in Little Rock at the time, and Greg showed up, who Greg's our friend from West Virginia. And anyway, we had a couple of days. We spent it largely here at the house, and everybody went and saw the local sites. They hit the flea market, and I think in Old Town, etc. Everybody had a great time. There were five of us, because Ron's brother and sister from Texas. Anyway, so here we were. At that point, I think we had about 15 or 20 meetings, and we were starting to click along, and what happened was that unofficial very quietly started knocking meetings off their calendar. And there came somebody, a gal named Misha, who was at Nicotina, I figured out later, was part of the New York Intergroup. Anyway, somebody asked her to do to be in charge of the internet meetings. She squared that away, bless her heart. But then it was just kind of like the way it was arranged was really silly, because like you may have a 7 p.m. Tuesday meeting next to a 9 p.m. Saturday meeting. The things weren't in chronological order. There wasn't any rhyme or reason. They were there along with the URLs. Also at this point, one of the things that happened was one of the things that happened was that these meetings were starting to unofficials were starting to go away, and ours were growing. Now the thing I just remembered what I was going to say before we threw in the going to Chicago thing. I don't know. I'm not to Chicago yet. Okay. Yeah. One of the things that happened about this time I'm forgetting it now. I'm trying to get this stuff in chronological order, people. There's a reason for it. I hope you're editing all this stuff out. Before we went to Chicago, a funny thing happened. What happened about this time? We're still on Yahoo at this point, still in our Yahoo room, and somebody comes stumbling in. I say stumbling in, that probably isn't correct. Somebody came in, and they had their own page set up, which was lobby build. Well, this person had been over in QuitNet, and they apparently had some chat stuff, and she thought that she would have a supplemental room called lobby build. Well, she joined VONR, and she had this group called Lobbyville. And what she did was she started every meeting she had during the weekdays, and I'm not so sure that it wasn't 7 days a week. She started an 8 a.m. meeting. Now, her name was Kathy, and she did, in fact, run those meetings. Now, you know, that happened for a while, okay? And the reason I mentioned this was because, like, this was a group that was set up in QuitNet and kind of ended up here and sort of things. Well, Kathy had some friends at World Services, it seems. And then that'll come in later.